Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Those of you that listen to the Human Technology Podcast regularly may hear it, that my voice is a little rough. I caught me a cold, and I'm working on this one, and I hope that I will get through this podcast episode one way or the other without too many coughs and too much of a rough voice. This is the third or fourth attempt that I started. I hope that I will get through one way or the other. But I want to deliver you this episode of the Human Technology Podcast because, and this is then the second housekeeping item here, this will be the last episode of this year before Christmas. I will make, as every year, a little Christmas winter break and return mid-late January 2026 with then a report about the CES, the Consumer Electronics show in Las Vegas. And so there will be probably two, maybe three episodes about what I saw there, what I think it's worth talking about to you, telling you what happened at Vegas. So whatever will happen at Vegas will not stay at Vegas. You will hear it here on the Human Technology Podcast. Last week, I was on a conference in Berlin on software-defined vehicles. And this is why I want to talk about software-defined vehicles. This will not be a traditional, normal conference report, but more like a couple of thoughts triggered by the meeting, by the presentations I saw there, by the discussions I had. And a couple of thoughts I put down here. So let's start with what are software-defined vehicles. They have long become more than just a technical concept. This is what I learned. They mark a profound cultural shift within the automotive industry. Vehicles we see on the road today, and even more the ones we will see tomorrow in the next years, they are only partially comparable to these mechanical rolling machines we've been building until 20, 25 years ago. Today's and tomorrow cars are digital ecosystems on wheels, permanent beta versions as any software, that evolve then over the lifetime. And sometimes only for software become what they were originally meant to be. In the conference I attended, this shift became strikingly clear once again. Not so much in the presentations or buzzwords, but because of the tensions, the questions, and the ambitions that resonated throughout the discussions. That is precisely where it becomes visible that what is truly at stake. How do we orchestrate the complexity of a software-driven car in a way that it creates a value-generating, trustworthy user experience? And what does this mean for the roles of the OEM, suppliers, tech companies, and ultimately for us humans who are meant to be using this technology? So it starts with my code. I do not intend to write to talk about a classic conference report here. Instead, as I said, I want to share some reflections that crystallized for me during the discussions I had, during the panels, the presentations. A couple of observations on architecture, organization, speed, responsibility, on hype, on what is reality. Above all, one central insight. Software-defined vehicles would not work without a deep understanding of the human being. So I will start with a couple of more general reflections, a technical business aspects, UX, HMI, human machine interface aspects. And based on that, in the second part, I will move on to strategies. And in the final part, I will talk about the use cases. A year ago, after that respective conference version in 2024, I had a podcast episode saying, hey, software-defined vehicles, where are you? The use cases? Where are they? And some things have happened. Some use cases become visible, but from my point of view, there is still a lot of work to do. There is still a lot of things we need to think and discuss about. So, general reflections, strategies, and use cases. The three things I'd like to talk here in today's episode. Let's start with a definition which is more on a technical perspective. A software-defined vehicle is a vehicle whose core functions, capabilities, and value creation are fundamentally determined by software and can be continuously expanded, modified, optimized throughout its life cycle. The vehicle architecture shifts from a hardware-centric structure with many distributed specialized ECUs, little computing units. So a regular mid-sized car has something around 15 ECUs. High-end cars, luxury cars, premium cars, maybe up to 25. And that changes, this highly distributed electronic system changes into a highly integrated, centralized computing platform. Then we have software on this, which is modular, scalable, and largely hardware independent. And I have identified six characteristics of a software-defined vehicle. The first one is, as mentioned, the centralized computing architecture. One central, big, powerful computer in the car, opposed to what we have today and what we had even more in the past, individual ECUs, individual little computers. Second, very technical point, is a service and API-based software architecture. The vehicle functions are realized in loosely coupled software services and standardized interfaces, so-called APIs, enable updates, upgrades, the integration of new functions without having to make architectural changes, interventions. Number three, over-the-air updates. So software and firmware functions, functionalities, and parts of the operating system can be updated remotely, usually over the 5G network, the mobile phone network. And the latest development is that this is not only for infotainment, but also for safety critical systems. And this makes the vehicle a continuously evolving, changing, adapting, innovating system. Number four, also more technical one, abstraction layers between hard and software. So all the drivers, the middleware, the virtualization ensure that software is no longer tied to specific hardware components. So hardware and software life cycles become decoupled so that I can have a hardware that drives for 10, 15 years and I can update that every 10 to 15 days if I want to. Number five, data-driven functionality. Software-defined vehicles generate, store, and process large amounts of sensor data. cars today are data consuming, data producing, data processing, rolling machines. And these data flows, they enhance diagnostics, optimization, AI-based functionalities, both in the vehicle and also in the cloud. And number six is cybersecurity by design. Anything that is online is endangered, which is also true for today's cars and even more for future cars. This combination of complexity and connectivity requires a deeply integrated security architecture, including boot processes, cryptography, intrusion detection, continuous monitoring. To summarize, a software-defined vehicle is engineered as a software platform with centralized computing, modular software, over-the-air updates, data-driven capabilities, and largely abstract hardware limitations. Second part of the definition, it is more the business model perspective. From a business perspective, a software-defined vehicle is a vehicle whose value creation shifts from a one-time hardware sales. I buy a car and it remains basically like it is until I sell it, or until I dump it. That changes towards a software-based, data-driven, continuously monetizable service. We talk about business, so you can monetize your car, your software services with constant updates, with buying new functionalities, prescription models, all that is possible. And this business model increasingly mirrors the ecosystem logic of modern smartphones. We have a hardware that acts as the platform, and then the economic value is generated through software, apps, updates, data services that are delivered throughout the life cycle of the device, whether it's a smartphone or a car. And the key business attributes run from the idea that we change from a product to an ecosystem. The vehicle becomes a platform on which OEMs and third parties offer digital services, as we have it on smartphones. We have life cycle monetization instead of one-time sales. So we have maybe feature on demand activation. This in the past did not work well. Because I installed, for example, the heat-seat-heating hardware, and then I had to make a prescription, had to make a constant payments, monthly payments to activate that. And this is ridiculous. But if it is a software-based or a data-based feature, then it makes sense to say, okay, I buy this feature when I need it, for example, traffic data, and if I don't need it, I don't buy it. Now, all the subscription models that we have in an ADAS infotainment comfort functions. Different content and service offerings and data-driven business models for fleets, insurances, workshops. So a car is not very often not a single device owned by a single person, but very often we have fleets, whether it is garbage trucks, whether it is delivery trucks, and well, if we have then access to all the vehicle data, the fleet management becomes much, much, much easier, and we can make a business out of it. Also, over-the-air updates connected to that. Yeah, they allowed later activation, improvement, the introduction of new features, so I can download a new software piece that allows me a certain functionality. Now, just like a new app on a smartphone. And this leads to a product evolution without new hardware. We can have soft launches of new features. Now, we can start in a single country or with a long-term user group or with a preferred user group, and then test it out and then roll it out into the entire market. We will see continuous quality improvement. Software is never ready. There's always ways, always needs to improve it. And then upselling path through digital channels. So you buy more traffic data, you buy better traffic data, whatever. SDVs generate data that OEMs can use for operational efficiency, for diagnostics, personalized services, again, for new business models, for which I see is a very good use case, predictive maintenance, that my car knows, oh, the way Peter is driving, I will need new brake pads in 3 months from now. Then that can be pre-ordered automatically, and my car lets me know, all right, your fresh brake pads are at your workshop. Please go there and have them installed. Data-driven product development becomes a chance, and also for me, one of the core use cases, personalized user experiences. My car becomes even more my car by adapting to my personal preferences. Software-defined vehicles open up to third parties. That was very difficult in the past. The car, you buy it, you bought it, and then it is what it is. Maybe you get some new, I don't know, wheels. Maybe you get a new steering wheel. Maybe you get some seat covers, whatever. But this is not really a third-party business in there. With the software-defined vehicle, we can see this on a digital level. We can have this we can have this on features and functions that are delivered not by the OEM but by third parties. And the OEMs here must decide whether they want to have a more closed ecosystem, maybe bit like the Apple model, or a semi-open ecosystem like Android, or a fully open automotive app store. I see the tendency at the moment towards the closed ecosystems. Maybe even the Apple model is too open for the automotive industry, but that may change in the future. So, to summarize this part, the business part, as software-defined vehicle shifts business models from hardware to software, it is like a smartphone. It becomes a platform-based ecosystem generating value through apps, services, data, continuous updates, and opens at the very end of the day entirely new revenue streams. If we have a look from the user experience HMI, human machine interface side, a software-defined vehicle from this point of view is a vehicle whose quality of interaction, functional scope, user experience are no longer primarily defined by fixed hardware, but by dynamic, updatable, and maybe even context software, context adaptive software logics. SDVs transform the car into an evolvable interaction platform where user interfaces, assistant functions, vehicle behaviors can be continuously refined and adapted to users' contexts and markets. Couple of characteristics. We have this evolving interaction instead of a static UI, new functions, new backgrounds, new interaction strategies, interfaces, visualizations that can improve or even redesign via the OTA, the over-the-air updates. And the user experience becomes then more like a living system. It changes constantly. It allows personalization and context sensitivity of the HMI. So the vehicle adapts interactions based on behavior, personal preferences, skill levels, and situational factors. So an adaptive display prioritization. Yeah? If I'm driving in bad weather, in darkness, into a city I've never been before, the displays will go down so I can focus more on the road, and the HMI may be more acoustic then. Yeah, maybe differentiated warning strategies. Maybe some people are more visual oriented, others more acoustic oriented. Maybe we add a haptic element into the warning strategies. And it could also be personalized and adapted to personal preferences and abilities. And the information reduction or expansion, as I described it. So the HMI becomes more an orchestrated part of the holistic vehicle electronics architecture. So we have a deep integration of the HMI into sensor fusion, artificial intelligence, data visualization. So all that is possible. And the HMI designer will turn then into the leader of a band leader or a leader of an orchestra, orchestrating the holistic architecture. But how it at the very end turns out is individually. We see with software-defined vehicles a tendency we have seen in the past, the separation of hardware interaction logic. Displays, buttons, voice systems become input-output channels, and interaction intelligence resides in abstracted function layers, enabling fast interaction, consistent UX across different product lines, and long-lasting concepts opposed to changing hardware. The AI will play a stronger role in the user experience of software-defined vehicles. We will have predictive interactions. The car will foresee, will learn what my let's say regular behavior is, and then allow me a predictive interaction connected to a personalization and intelligent automation. So user experience in software-defined vehicles will turn into a continuous service. The vehicle becomes a product that improves over time, is able to create new experiences, new expectations on consistency, explainability, trust. To summarize this part from a UX HMI perspective, a software-defined vehicle is a software-centric, updatable, adaptive interaction platform that evolves with user needs, functions, that evolves over time. Let's move on to the second part, the software strategies. So the car turns from a mechanical artifact into a digital mobility platform. And the automotive industry, under this aspect and many other aspects as well, but under this one as well, is undergoing the most profound transformation in its history. Few industries are disrupted simultaneously by so many technology, economical, societal forces. So we have all these pressures on the automotive industry. And at the end, software-defined vehicles are not an isolated trend. They are an umbrella concept shaping the full digitalization of the vehicle, its architecture, development processes, and its business models. For decades, for over 100 years, the car was primarily a mechanical product built for one central use case, driving. Functionality, complexity, interaction remained somehow manageable. The interaction was direct, analog, well-controlled. There was one button for one function in one location. This is what I call the one-to-one-to-one paradigm. That is dissolving. The focus is shifting. Future mobility will be defined not only by physical movements, but by the adequate quality of the entire user journey. Digital, personalized, connected, memorable user journey. And I see four strategic changes. Number one, more features, more integration, more meaning. So vehicles will offer significantly more functions, from AI-based assistance to IoT-connected services, integration into digital ecosystems like the smart for world, smart home, cloud services. We talked about fleet management, mobility as a service. So this will transform the car from a solitary artifact into a node in the digital lifestyle. And these trends that are driving this one is urbanization, individualization, digital lifestyle, increasing computing power, connectivity, artificial intelligence. And all that creates more features and more meaning. Which, by the way, from a user experience and usability perspective, we need to manage on a dashboard. We still have a phenomenon called driver distraction. We have to handle this one and find the sweet spot where we maximum accessibility to features and maximum safety on the other side. Number two in the strategies for software-defined vehicles, we have reached the point where on the Gartner life cycle, the Gartner hype cycle, we have left the hype phase and went into the execution phase. I will not go into detail on the Gartner hype cycle. Maybe that's worth a separate episode. I should think about this. If a new technology comes up, it gets a super hype, then it goes down when we realize it's not that easy, and then it returns to a realistic level of expectations, and that is the execution phase. And we have moved almost towards the execution phase. So visions become programs, programs become architectures, and architectures become platforms, and platforms become vehicles. The geopolitical realities add complexity. So we have fragmented regulations, and I was optimistic a couple of years ago that these fragmentation will get lower over time. At the moment, I have my doubts with all the political and societal changes we experience globally. Probably fragmentation will grow. With all the regional infrastructure, the differences between them, and we will get more diverse markets and more diverse user expectations. This can be a chance, if tackled correctly, can be a chance to respond with a software-defined vehicle through configuration software, configurable software, which will be better adaptable than endless hardware variants and hardware fixed hardware configurations that we see. The third strategic advantage, speed, differentiation, scalability. That's the nature of software. So new potentials arise for both users and OEMs. For the users, we have continuous updates, new features, higher ease of use, higher user experience quality if done well, smartphone IoT integration, smart home integration. And at the end, we can create a serious depersonalization based on data and artificial intelligence. On the OEM side, we can see, if done properly, shorter development cycles, manageable complexity through modular software, reduction in the number of hardware variants, easier diagnostics and maintenance, function transfer across vehicle lines, built once, deployed many times. And not to forget about the new digital revenue models software-defined vehicles allow us. So it's not just a technical evolution. Software-defined vehicles are a business of enabler. And at the very end, standards and platform thinking. That was one of the core things we discussed in different workshops on the conference. We need standards. Yeah, scalable, software defined vehicles require shared standards across OEMs, across supply chains, across the entire industry. APIs, software modules, security architecture, data models, diagnostic protocols. They must be interoperable if the car is truly to become a platform. And we see this in the internet. Imagine we have an Android internet and Microsoft internet and Apple internet. The internet would have not, without the internet protocol, the standard, the internet wouldn't have been such a big and fast success. And so standardization allows it to make no business model. I've heard no one complaining that because of the internet protocol, I cannot make any business. It's the opposite. Because of the internet protocol, I can make business. And we need to reach the same level in software-defined vehicles. That we have one core standard that everyone can rely on. Then we can create business. So at the end, we have this transformation challenge in products, in processes, in humans and people. The path towards a software-defined vehicle is technical on one side, but it's not a technical project alone. It will change the products. Yeah? Shifting from the hardware focus that cars used to have to a software-first architecture. We need different processes. We need to add agile software development to classic engineering, and this is a clash of cultures. The V model, the waterfall models, they all are used, applied, and successfully used in the automotive industry, in the mechanical part of it. And now on top, we get the software guys that have a more agile understanding of how to develop technology. So that is one of the points we need to solve. And connected to that, we need to think about the people. We need to think about the developers. We need to talk about people that suddenly have a different view on the product, on the processes, on the corporations they have. They need to talk to new people suddenly. And this may be at the very end, the biggest hurdle if we talk about the introduction of the software-defined vehicle. Let's move on to the final part of this episode, the use cases, the HMI, the user experience in the software-defined vehicle. The spectrum of possible use cases has expanded dramatically and continues to grow. Since last year, the industry has accelerated. We have AI-driven functions, we have new services, connected ecosystems, we have over-the-air update strategies and data-driven personalization. Well, all this became from a rough idea into a little more concrete thinking. It's not there as a product, but we have made a big step forward. On the other side, I feel that the user experience, the human-machine interface complexity of this new world is not fully understood. It's far from being fully understood. Couple of points connected to user experiences. The first one is personalization, individualization. Yeah, well, what is established? We have a profile-based behavior. You can get in. Maybe it's on the key. Maybe it is in the infotainment system. Seat, climate, information distribution on the dashboard, personalized warnings, assistant logic, digital keys, context adaptive UIs, all this is either already established or on the way of being established. Next thing in the pipeline, generative UI via artificial intelligence. This is on the horizon. Adaptive complexity management, smart minimalism, context sensitivity of the HMI, and usage-based features on demand. These are things that I can see. What I'm missing is intercultural personalization. this should be on the very top of any OEM that wants to sell worldwide, which is every OEM. And it is the accommodation for neurodiverse users like colorblind. And yeah, so this is not what I see at the moment. The second point is artificial intelligence based assistance and automation. What we see there is predictive maneuvers, automated environment modeling, driver state monitoring. This is all somehow visible already. Next thing to come that I see is the driver augmentation with artificial intelligence, so the driver co-pilot scenarios, the automated configuration of complex features, and AI-generated driving recommendations. So this is, for me, at least under discussion. What I'm missing in cars, explainable human machine interfaces, communication of system uncertainty, and the responsibility sharing between AI and driver. These are aspects where I believe that lack focus and where we need to do a little more. Number three, the ODA updates, the feature development, the feature on demands. So updates for navigation, for comfort, infotainment is established. Temporary permanent feature activation that we have. What comes next is software launches, even of low level software, operating level, safety relevant features. Also regional feature variants that come. And rolling releases for safety critical systems. What I'm missing here, the user experience of lifecycle management, how can we communicate this? The expectation management, users as beta testers, yes or no, in a car, in safety relevant situations, not sure about this one. And preventing usability regression so that we have a constant shift and maybe even a constant loss in the quality of usability where we have constant updates. How do we handle this? Number four is the integration with digital ecosystems and the Internet of Things. We have smartphone variable integration, we have smartphone connectivity, we have cloud-based routing. This is available. Also visible is vehicle as payment devices, health and wellness integration, fleet multi-user data sharing. All this is somehow visible. What I'm missing is standardized APIs to create automotive app stores. Privacy and security on HMIs. This is always discussed, but we are still missing the, let's say, gold standard there. And this is connected to the standardized APIs, to the standards that we need in the interfaces, the cross-brand interoperability. So Opel is doing its own things compared to Ford and Volkswagen, and Mercedes is doing its own thing compared to BMW and Audi. So we should think about a industry-wide standard on this one. Number five of the use cases, in-cabin experience, in-car entertainment. What we have is streaming, ambient light, sound design, in-car gaming, that is there. The emerging things are multimodal generative experiences, shared multi-passenger experiences, particularly in China, wellness journeys. This is somehow visible. What's missing is we still have a strong driver focus, so the user experience for non-driving passengers, particularly level 3, level 4. How do we handle this one? Resolving preference conflicts, the content safety and distraction standards, all this is not really fully discussed. Number 6 is the predictive and proactive vehicle services, predictive maintenance, energy management for electric vehicles, all that is there. The emerging services are proactive vehicle communication, shall I book a service appointment, shall I book your restaurant, and self-optimizing vehicle states. what I'm missing here is the user experience for autonomous decision making. How do we communicate from the car to the driver who's in control of the decision making? How do we create trust in an artificial intelligence based diagnostics and the transparent communication of vehicle states, data sets, dates, state of security? All this is not in the focus at the moment. All right, we have reached the end. The user experience complexity of the software-defined vehicle is far from understood. This is a statement I can make and I stand to. We have a lot of use cases that are realized, that are fulfilled, but we also have things that are not in the focus. And so we have the chance with the software-defined vehicle, because it is a permanent change factor, to move on into even more and even better user experience. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.